Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Trinity Sunday will be taken out of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read from chapter 3. Last week we read from Acts. We read about the giving of the Holy Spirit. Dealing with Trinity, we're going to continue with that theme and the understanding of the power of God through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. You can remain comfortable and seated for this reading as we continue in Jesus' name. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Kind of want to sing that, don't you? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a powerful testimony you give to us. Very powerful indeed, strengthening and encouraging. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in this truth, because, Father, we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't want to put anybody on the spot, but if I had my way, I would have asked that we sang this today. I've been singing this song all week long. You know, Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. You know, and I'm not a singer. Trust me. So you don't want me to sing it. But sometimes I think we get so formal. We got to just let go of some of the stuff and just literally just do what God leads us to do. Because this is a great day. It's a day that we recognize the Trinity. God moving and acting and operating in so many facets that it blows our mind. I'm not talking about taking things into our own hands with spiritual garbage and things like that. In other words, we control it. And I'm not talking about making a great movement by our emotions or something else like that and say, that's God. But allowing God to speak and allowing God to operate and to move. Not just in our congregations, but in our lives. How many times have we felt the call? Felt the call within, and we maybe wonder, is it God speaking to us or what is it? But yet, when we act in that call, we see the blessings that come forward in our lives. There's a powerful story, and I can't say if it's true or not, but I'm going to act as though it is true because it's of one of my relatives, my great-grandfather, Matty. Hilda and Matty were traveling, and they were tired, and they pulled over on the side of the road to get some sleep. There was a little break, supposedly, in the railings on the highway. Being stubborn old fins, they just figured they'd pull over and kind of tuck in there and take a little nap. They left the car idling, and they were snoozing. But all of a sudden, Maddie just wakes up, throws it in reverse, and boots on it, and he ends up down in the ditch. Just as he did that, a car came sliding along the guardrails, hitting that guardrail. Hilda asked him, "How did you know to move the car?" He said, "You woke me up. You poked me and told me to go backwards." That's the power of God. She didn't know anything about it. God operates. God speaks. Sometimes Jesse's so blind he can't see it. Sometimes he's nuts. If we're going to talk about spiritual events happening, I'll tell you one very straightforward that people probably think I'd be crazy for telling you this. I was in Bruce Crossing feeling sorry for myself in the ministry. Struggling immensely in the ministry. I know pastors don't do much. I know we work 1 hour a Sunday and things like that, and I know I'm being cynical. But I was feeling overwhelmed. I was having a pity party. You know, somebody licked all the frosting off my cake. And I was sitting up at the pulpit on the floor in Bruce Crossing, literally looking at the altar area, asking God, why does He not speak to me? Lord, why don't You talk to me? Why don't You tell me? Why don't You encourage me? And all of a sudden, the doors opened on the church, and I'm embarrassed because I'm so human. I'm embarrassed that I was up in front of the altar praying. So I kind of snuck around because they couldn't see me in there, and I came down the center hall of the aisle of the church, and a lady walked through those doors. And this lady came in, and she said, God sent me to talk to you. And you know me and my sarcasm. I said, well, good. I was just asking Him to talk to me. She goes, He sent me. And this lady, please, know I'm being disrespectful in some ways, but it's an encouragement to me. She was nuts. She was out to lunch, I'm telling you. And she told me so many things that were off the wall, and she was just going on and on and on, and she told me she could read people. And she wanted to hold my hands and read me and tell me what I was. And I said, good, then read me. She held my hands and she started talking all kinds of gibberish, and then she looked me straight in the eyes and she said, you wonder why God doesn't talk to you. And He wants you to know He talks all the time. You just don't listen. You don't shut up long enough to listen. And then she went back to craziness. I praise God for that woman. If He had sent me some great theologian, I would have thought, oh yeah, yeah, that's the way it's going to come. If He had sent me some great intellect or whatever, but no. He sent me the message so direct in the middle of chaos, I knew it was Him. God still operates. God still speaks. When we read a text like this, don't just read it for history. Read it for today. For our encouragement. Be free. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. And allow that we could literally stand up and sing. That we can praise God, that we can thank God for the gift of life, the gift that He has given us, and for the encouragement that we receive. We have this text that's before us that's so powerful because it speaks so powerfully about faith, and it speaks about the action and the love of God, and it also speaks that when nothing else is possible, He will overcome the circumstances. Peter and John, they went up together about the third hour, and the ninth hour, 3 p.m., to pray. This is an encouragement to me. They've been called to a new ministry. They've been called, if you could say it to this way, to the new covenant. But they did not separate themselves from the people. They went up to the temple to offer prayers, to encourage, to strengthen. Though they were probably entering into enemy territory in some people's eyes, they went there. Because they had the message of truth. They had the gospel, the hope for this world. And they entered in there. So they're heading up there and they're going to pray about 3 o'clock, which would be their tradition. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb, a community member, really, was carried there and laid daily at the gate. These other people, don't lose sight of the sympathy that they had because they carried him there, that he would have a way to provide for himself. The community took this on as their action. So they brought him up there every day that he could lay there and he could plead to those that may have compassion. But we understand if we look in the Gospels, we understand if we look through the history, that often many religious people saw these ailments as a curse. That they would not go near these individuals. When we even find in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, the man that was born blind, we understand that even Jesus' followers say, who sinned? Did this man or his parents? They saw this as a punishment. That's how society thought. These individuals went out of their way to carry this man to the gate of Beautiful, that he could ask for alms for all those, that he may seek gifts, that he may receive something for sustenance, for himself, maybe for his family where his parents are, who knows. When he saw Peter and John about to enter into the temple, he asked for a gift. Could you spare something? Could you give me some coinage? Could you give me some food? Could you spare something? I don't have an ability to work. I can't even walk. I don't have ability to even get myself here. That even is a gift of other people, that I'm even to be here to bug you. This is a man that's truly in need. He has boldness. But it says that Peter, he does the opposite. Peter does the opposite of what the world generally will do. Peter fastened his eyes upon him. He looked directly at him. How many times have we seen somebody in a wheelchair? We've seen somebody in a crippled state, or we've seen somebody that's deformed in some way, and we have a tendency to look away. We've taught people that it's improper to stare, and there is a definite degree of that. You don't want to sit there and stare. I remember one time being here at the church. In fact, I hope here in July or soon we'll have Todd Neva come back and preach. The board is going to be asking him to come preach. And if he's able, Todd Neva, he'll come back. But I remember being at the church one day when he was here. And a little kid came up to him so curious about his buggy, his little contraption. The kid wasn't disrespectful. He was intrigued, and Todd showed him how the thing would lift him and do that. I thought that was really awesome. Sometimes we have a tendency to look away, that we don't want to even think about it. But it is a reality for people, and we need to accept them in their reality and love them where they're at and encourage them where they're at. How would you feel in reality every time you walk through the church doors if someone looked away from you? First thing you'd say is, what's wrong with me? Why, when I walk through the doors, everyone looks away? You start wondering, do I have a booger on my face? What's going on here? Who's my real friend? Who's going to tell me? Peter does the opposite of the world. He fastens his eyes on him, and it says John does too. They're not intimidated. They're not afraid, because they know something greater. They know something better beyond this fallen world. They know something better and beyond this fallen disease. They look directly at him, because he has a desire for something. And Peter and John, they're not wealthy. Not in material goods. But they know their wealth and heavenly goods. They know their wealth in the spiritual values of life. They know their place. They know their God. They know Christ. And now they have the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. And when they see something that most people would turn from, see something that maybe someone would flick a coin at and walk by and figure they did their part, they look directly at him. They face the problem. And he turns around and he says, look at us. We are looking at you, but look at us too. Don't be ashamed. Don't put down your head. Don't feel like you are less and that you're not valuable. Look up. See us. Peter and John are the representation of God. They are the representation of Jesus Christ. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they are there to encourage, to strengthen. And by God's grace, they will heal. Look up at us. That is a boldness. He gives heed to them. But yet, the Scripture tells us, Luke shares with us, he says, he looked at them, but expecting to get something. That's not wrong. Most people would ignore them. Most people would flick something at them and go. Someone took the time to stand in front of him, to look directly at him, to see who he is, to see his strait, his position, his place. And they said, look to us. Can this community say that about us? As believers in Jesus Christ, as we are the representation of Christ in this world, in this community, can they look to us? Can they look to us for encouragement? Can they look to us for provision? Can they look to us for healing? Can they look to us for strength and integrity? That is a very powerful, powerful thought that we should have as believers. That yes, we can be human and normal, that we don't have to be holier than thou. But that we could also have compassion for those in need. And I'm not just talking about raha, I'm not talking about money, I'm not talking about financial assistance, that we give money to everybody that walks through these doors. I'm talking about love. Encouragement. That we would dare to lend a helping hand. Money's the easy part. Money's the easy part. I had a buddy, my buddy Hansi Ojala. Whenever he needed money, he reached behind his truck seat and God put it there. That's easy. Money's not hard. Oh, Pastor, you say that. You say that, then give up everything that you have. Well, my humanness says I can't, but I'll tell you what, when God prompts me, I definitely try. Because money's not the issue. You want to get me harder? In other words, you want to put me in a tougher place? Try to get me to give up my time. Try to get me to go outside my comfort zone and to deal with people in the ditches, helping them where they're at. I'd much rather write a check. I know that's probably way too human for us. We don't like to hear that. But Peter and John, they knew what they had. They didn't have the financial means. Money wasn't the issue. Money was not going to fix this guy's problem. Look at us. And he looks at them expecting something. And Peter turns around and he says something that probably blew the guy out of the water. Silver and gold, I don't have any. I don't have this world's wealth. I don't have what you're looking for right now. I don't have silver and gold. But buddy, your problem's not silver and gold. It's not. But this is a great statement that Peter says. He says, but that which I do have, that what I actually do have, I will give it to you. How stingy are we often with the gospel? How stingy are we with the grace of God to understand and know that He has given me His gospel, He's given me His word, He's given me His grace. Am I willing in reality to give it forward too? Peter understood this because he said, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, will you? Will you, Peter? Will you go to the worldly standards and defend me? Will you stand up and lay down your rights for my benefit? Will you, in reality, die for me? No, you won't. Because Jesse won't give up his house. Jesse won't give up his cars. But I don't think he's looking for me to do that. I think what he's looking for is that we would serve him in all we say and do. Because sometimes writing the check is the easiest part. I don't have silver and gold. He said, but what I do have, I'm giving to you. I'm giving you everything. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. This is a gift. That you get your life back. We have so many people in this world that are seeking for something tangible, that they're seeking for something that they can claim to, something that they can identify themselves in this world of being great through. They're seeking for gold, they're seeking for silver, they're seeking for an answer to addictions and struggles and different disorders. But the greatest gift that can be given is the finished work of Jesus Christ, that one would be free and one would be redeemed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is nothing beyond this. For in and through Him we have everlasting life. He says, I don't have those earthly things. I don't have what you're looking for. I'm not the rich guy with the big Hummer. I'm not the one with the vet. But I have something greater. And I'm not going to hoard it. I'm not going to keep it to myself. As I have been freely given, I will freely give. He's not afraid of wasting the grace of God. He's not afraid that this man doesn't have the right understanding. He leaves it up to the power of the Heavenly Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ and by the working of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we wonder if we should actually extend that grace so freely. I remember one time, must be the day for stories, so if you don't like stories, then you don't have to listen for the rest of this one. I had a very difficult time another time. In the beginning of my ministry, I was serving in Alston. And I had a man that was dying of cancer. And he was not a believer. He kicked me out of his house 3 times, but a mother kept pleading with me to go back. And it was the most uncomfortable situation I had ever been in. Because the man didn't want me there. And I kept speaking with him. I kept trying to get him to say the right things. I was new to ministry. I was an idiot. There's no doubt about it. And finally, I was so tired. And I was sitting at my dining room table. Chuck Bilkus came to my house. I've never seen Chuck Bilkus out in Tapiola at my house. I've never seen him there again. Of course, I'm hardly there much myself, so I won't blame him for that. But God knows. He came to my house and I found myself sitting at my dining room table with Chuck Bilkus, having coffee. I've never done that in my life. I've never done it again. We've done restaurants. And I looked at Chuck and I said, Chuck, I don't know what else to do. And I told him all the scenarios I went down. I told him everything else I've done. And I'm looking for this guy to say the right words and do the right things. And Chuck said, why are you waiting for him to say the right things? Bless him. Give him the grace. Bless him. The next time I went over to this man's house, he pointed toward the door. When I walked in, he was so weak. And I said, yes, it's a nice day out there. And I went and sat in front of him. I told him, I said, sir, I'm not going to do anything here except pray. Can I pray for you? And he nodded his head. And I prayed for him. I prayed that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, would reveal to him the finished work of Jesus Christ. I laid my hands upon him and I told him that he can believe all his sins, doubts, and fears forgiven in Jesus' precious name and shed blood. And then I blessed him. And that man had tears rolling out of his eyes. He could hardly talk and all he would whisper is, it's mine. It's mine. Why are we so stingy? Why are we trying to get people to jump through hoops and loops? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that this stuff is done. It's not by the hands of any Finlander, by any Italian, whatever it may be. Chuck was right. Why was I waiting? What I have, I will give to you. Get up and walk. Peter believed in that work of Jesus Christ. And it says very plainly that he lifted him up, and it says immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. And he got up. And not only did he get up, he got up and he leaped. That is the power of God. He leaped and he did not praise Peter. He didn't praise John. He praised God for the gift that was given to him. Can we understand and know that is our God, that when we were weak in our sins and trespasses, when we had no ability, He sent His only begotten Son to give His life for us. And that He has blessed us with faith. He has given us His grace. And He has called us to share it with a world that needs to hear it. Can we understand and know? And can we share and be encouraged? Trinity is real. It is powerful, and He is God. And He has taken residence in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He has empowered us, not by our flesh, not by our ability, but by His Word and His strength to enter into this world and share with this world the good news that your sins are forgiven. Believe this. Receive this. He got up. He received strength. He leaped, he praised God, and where did he head? To the temple. We want people to come through these church doors. Maybe we need to go out there. Maybe we need to love on them right where they are. To strengthen them right where they are. To share with them right where they are. Not just the pastor, but each and every one of us, ambassadors of this gospel, to love them right where they are. That they may desire to come through these doors for fellowship, for communion, for strength. We are so blessed. It says the people were blown away. They saw him praising God, leaping, and they said, this is the guy that was crippled. This is the guy that had no life. Now he has life. How did that come to be? By the love of the Heavenly Father, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are so healed. May we enjoy the healing. May we enjoy the blessing. And may we encourage the world around us with the light of that powerful gospel. Go enjoy your day. Praise God. Watch the kids in the field leap. Oh, go leap with them. I'm not a very good leaper. Let me tell you, I run once and my son started laughing at me. He said, Dad, I don't think I've ever seen you run in my life. I always have a saying, I won't even run to the bathroom if I have to. But man, if it means I get to bring the gospel to somebody else, I'll run. Because that is what changed my life. And I pray it changes yours. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of life that is found in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this account in Acts of how there was one that was carried to a gate every day that had no ability to even bring himself there, but yet you brought restoration. Father, may we also be the restorers. May we enter into this world by faith through grace, bringing forth the power of your Holy Spirit and your spoken word, and encourage them around us. May we stop looking at denominations. May we stop looking at idle lines of man. And Father, rather bring forth the power of your word. May we allow you to be God. May the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.